Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. This is God's Word. "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. Someone else, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy, and sand a burden. But provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are the eyes of a man. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed and new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family, and to nourish your servant girls. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. What New Testament book does that remind you of? New Testament book of James tells us, don't say, tomorrow I'm going to go to this place or that place and do thus and such. You don't know what another day is going to bring forth. Instead, you should say, if God wills, then we will go here or go there. Do not boast about tomorrow. How many times have you encountered somebody who spoke with great confidence about what was going to happen, what they were going to do, what they were going to accomplish? I can't count the number of young guys who have been students at the ranch who assured me they were going to be in the NFL. I actually think we've had a couple of students here who could have made it in the NFL. They didn't, but they could have. But I'm not telling you, don't have dreams, don't have goals, don't have aspirations. I'm saying God's word must be obeyed. And God says don't boast about tomorrow. Don't brag about what you're going to do. Fine to have goals, but don't try and sell us all on how someday you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Bragging about the future, not okay. Unless you're talking about what God says, what He promises, because that is going to happen. See, I know I'm going to heaven because that's not based on my performance, that's based on Jesus. I know that I'm going to be secure in Him forever because He promised that. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I have things I can boast about, but they're not about me. They're about my Lord. He is great and greatly to be praised. And I can talk with confidence about what He's going to do based on what He says. Because He always, always, always keeps His promises. Do not boast about tomorrow because you don't know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you. And not your own mouth. Someone else, and not your own lips. Now, you make the application. I am the greatest. We're number one. We're number one. I mean, we just think that's good old spirit. Well, it's a spirit, all right, but it's not good, just old. Bragging about yourself does not honor the Lord. And it doesn't even make you look good. Let somebody else praise you. Let it come from someone else's lips. That's what God tells us. Don't go around bragging about how good you are. Do not boast about tomorrow. And do not boast about yourself. Stone is heavy, sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. It's exhausting to be around some folks who are just deliberately doing things in order to try and twist your nose. They're just trying to irritate you, just looking for a way. You say, well, so what does this tell us to do? Well, obviously, don't be the fool. Don't be the person who's always irritating others. Don't be an annoyance. Don't be somebody who is constantly irritating, provoking, trying to stir up. Why does a person do things like that? Well, most of the time it's because they are starved for attention. They are just desperate for somebody to pay attention to them. And so they get the kind of attention that they discovered in childhood works. And that is, if I can't get them to pay attention for doing what's right, I will do what's wrong because then they have to pay attention to me. Well, they do, but it's such a burden. It's just annoying. It's exhausting. You don't want to be that fool. And that's what it's called. Don't be the one who's always provoking. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? I cannot count the number of times when I've been called on to try and mediate a situation, and when we began to dig down and see what was really going on. The reason this person was being mean to this person was because this person was jealous of this person. It's like, meanwhile, this person's like, I don't think they like me. Well, no, they don't, but they feel actually inferior to you, and they're jealous of your situation, so that's why they seem, but she said I was ugly. Well, that's because she feels ugly. Well, she is, but I hadn't thought of it like that. Okay? Well, jealousy is a powerful force. But this kind of jealousy, not okay. It's not a good thing. Folks, please understand, you don't have to just go with whatever you're feeling in the moment. You're going to have all kinds of feelings and thoughts and desires that are not okay. And you're supposed to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So do not give in to being the fool who's always provoking people or exhibiting cruel anger or fury that's overwhelming or jealousy that sweeps in and disturbs all kinds of relationships. Well, how do I keep from being jealous? Well, how about getting your eyes off of yourself compared to other people and start looking at the Lord and seeing what He's done for you and recognize that God has good things in store for those who trust and obey. You know, if what you're concerned about is what God wants, seeking to please Him, you don't have to worry about everybody else's opinion. You don't have to compare yourself to other people. See how you stack up compared to them. You just focus on being the person God called you to be. Verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. What does that mean? Well, sometimes we need correction. What's the very next verse? Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes if you love somebody, you have to say something to them in order to correct them, and it hurts. It is kind and gracious and loving to go ahead and tell someone to their face when they need to be rebuked. It is unkind to just bottle up your love and not express it. When you care about somebody, let them know. It is unkind to just say, well, I assume you know that. You guys are too young, even most of you adults, to remember Fiddler on the Roof. But there's a wonderful, wonderful song in Fiddler on the Roof where Tevye wants to hear from his wife, I love you. And he has a very hard time getting her to say it. You know, do you love me? Do I what? Do you love me? And he begins to hear from her the litany of how she shows her love for him. But folks, we need to hear it sometimes too. I told my children that I adopted from Ukraine, I'm going to say something to you. And at this point, I was having to speak through a translator, but they translated it for me, and my kids remember it. To this day, they remember it. I said, I'm going to say something to you so many times in the years to come that when I start to speak, you'll know what I'm going to say. I said, you will hear me say, do you know what? And you'll say, what? And I'll say, I love you. And the reason I'm going to say that is because it's true. I love you. One of our staff here said, I've heard Pastor Wood tell me that he loves me more than I ever heard it from my own father growing up. That's not because I'm great. It's because God's great. And God is love. And if we are living in Him, love is going to flow from us. So don't keep that love hidden. Now, there are various kinds of love. There's an unselfish love that is like God's love. And then there's a very selfish kind of love. I love you if you will do this for me. I love you as long as you always do what I want. That's not what we're talking about. And we're also not talking about just the physical attraction that some people feel toward one another, that some people mistake for love. Well, is it wrong to feel attracted toward other people? No, it's not wrong to feel attracted toward other people. But it is wrong to let those feelings get confused so that you think that's love. Love wants the best for the other person, real love, the kind of love that we all need to receive and that we all need to give. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So I think what he's saying there is that if somebody wants to kiss you a lot, they're your enemy. No, that's not what it means. When it says wounds from a friend can be trusted, we talked about what that means. When it says, but an enemy multiplies kisses, that means your enemy will often pretend to be your friend. There are a lot of people who will pretend to be your friend and they're not your friend. There are a lot of people who will lie to you and tell you you're wonderful and, oh, I think you're the greatest and you can always count on me. That's what it's talking about when it says an enemy multiplies kisses. But a person who really cares about you will tell you when you're wrong. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey. Now, we've already learned earlier in the book of Proverbs that honey is great. I mean, it's wonderful in moderation. It's okay to have some sweet stuff. God made sweet stuff and gave us taste buds and brain receptors to appreciate it. That's okay. But listen, he who is full loathes honey. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. When you're hungry, really hungry, really, really hungry, like most Americans don't get, you'll be happy to eat almost anything. Come down to verse 9, the second half. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. In verse 9, it says that perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. Actually, this is a good tip for everybody. There are people out there trying to sell us things we're allergic to. I'm not saying that all perfume and incense is good, but the Bible actually models for us the value of having pleasant aromas around. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but let me tell you, those aromas, those scents, those perfumes, they are not as lasting or as valuable as the earnest counsel of one's friend. Okay? Somebody who will tell you the truth. Somebody who will give you honest counsel. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Look at verse 11. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. It has been a joy for Mrs. Wood and me in recent days to go online and see, in the midst of all the insanity in our culture, some of our former students posting things that call people back to the truth of Scripture. It gives us joy when we see you walking in wisdom. Verse 12, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. We've talked about this one earlier in the book of Proverbs, but I will say it to you again. If you see danger, don't be a coward, but if you see danger, adjust your course. Take refuge. Because it is a foolish person who just keeps on going when they see the danger. Verse 14, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. It is important to be considerate of other people. Did you know that it is possible to walk in such a way that people will not hear clump, 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 clump. Okay? Be considerate of other people and realize not everybody wakes up at the same time. Is that clear? Verses 15 and 16, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. How does that sound, ladies? Does that sound good? Don't be a quarrelsome wife. But what if I'm married to a guy who's stupid? Well, whose fault is that? Was this an arranged marriage? Were you forced at gunpoint to marry him? What does that say about your judgment? If you married him, maybe he's not the only one who makes mistakes. Golly, Pastor Rudd. Well, just don't be a quarrelsome wife. And fellas, realize that gravity will change looks over time, but personality usually remains about the same. Okay? So you are much better off to look for a person, a woman of noble character, like we'll read about in chapter 31. If a person has a sweet countenance and disposition, they get more beautiful with time. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Sparks are likely to fly, but being around other people who take the rough edges off of you is good for you. You'll be sharper if you spend time with people who don't always agree with you. When it says you're not supposed to be with a quarrelsome wife because it's like a constant dripping, that doesn't mean that wives are always supposed to be. Well, I don't know. Whatever you think is fine. No, that's not what the goal is. You're not looking for somebody who's a doormat. You are looking for someone who knows how to agree. Okay? They're capable of saying, well, I think you should decide. Because gentlemen, sometimes we want to be passive like Adam in the garden and not stand up and be a man and make a decision and say, thank you for giving me your input, but I believe this is what God's telling us we need to do. Is that clear? All right. Verse 18 says, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. What that's saying is, in both cases, you're a servant who reaps a reward. If you look after your master, you'll be honored. Well, what if your master is a jerk and he rips you off and takes credit for your work and all that kind of stuff? God will reward you. God will reward you. You will be rewarded. One way or the other, you will reap what you sow. Look at verse 22. Look at the end of verse 21. A man is tested by the praise he receives. There are a lot of people who do real well until they start to experience some success. And when folks start telling them, hey, you're doing great, they let it go to their heads. Don't do that. Okay? Stay humble. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, verse 22, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you'll not remove his folly from him. There are some folks who refuse to receive correction, and that is tragic. Verses 23 and 24, basically through 27, tells you, and this is written to royalty, members of the royal household, it says, you need to stay close to the land. During the Great Depression in this country, one of the things that kept people alive was that virtually everybody knew how to grow vegetables. Nearly everybody knew how to get sustenance from the land. If we face another downturn like that, most Americans are going to be completely ill-prepared. Even in the cities, in the urban centers across America, people had goats, people had a cow, people had a little garden plot out back. In Eastern Europe, and in Western Europe for that matter, everybody knows how to garden. The urban dwellers put gardens alongside the train tracks. It's government land that the government lets people have, and they have their little cottage there, and they go out on the weekend, and they stay in the little cottage, and they tend their gardens. People know how to get sustenance from the land. One of the best things you can learn while you're here at Ware's Valley Ranch, besides learning to trust Jesus, is learning how to grow food. Because we're supposed to know that food doesn't just come from the grocery store. Somebody's got to grow it. And God has given us the means to do it. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to do that. The royalty was told by the wisest man on earth, you be sure to take care of your animals. You be sure to take care of your crops. You be sure that you know how to get sustenance from the land. Stay close to the land. Okay? That is a word from God's word, and I hope you'll take it to heart.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.